For over 10 years, we've been bringing you killer metal music and frank discussions about heavy metal. Wait, who the hell is Frank? You are tuned into MSR Cast, brought to you by Mainstream Resistance. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek and Sean the Metal Pigeon. Keep it metal.
Hi, this is James Avera. I'm going back to old school. MSR Cast? Oh, come on. Yes, we've been around for a long time, and we're not going away. This is James Avera from Hellstar. Support your local scene.
Oh! Welcome, my friends, to episode number 232 of MSR Cast, your heavy metal podcast. Well, maybe one of your heavy metal podcasts. I am one of your hosts. I am Kerry the Metal Geek, along with...
Sean the Metal Pigeon.
How are you, sir?
Very good.
Happy 2020.
Yeah.
Last time we got together, we talked about our favorite 2019 albums.
Right.
And I think we're going to talk about some albums that sort of missed last year that we didn't hear till 2020.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that.
Yeah. A little bit of last year and this year. It's always either slow starting or really just like off to the races.
Yeah.
And whenever the years start. This one for me has been a little slow, a little sluggish out
the
gate.
We're only 2 weeks into the year, so.
No, that's true.
3 weeks now.
That's true. But it's also, I'm kind of like looking down the calendar going, okay, it's not a first major release probably in February. Then there's me like another big one, like maybe in April. But like it's
Who are your big releases? What are you talking about?
Demons and Wizards is the big one I'm thinking
about. All right. So the first song that I heard, loved it. Second song I heard, not so much.
You know, it really is the danger in listening to all these pre-album release cuts, you know, and I made the mistake, too, of doing that. And, yeah, I have certain opinions about things right now. But I'm going to just hold off until I get the album just out of, I don't know, trying to avoid prejudicing myself either way, you know?
Yeah, I feel that.
I did notice, speaking of Demons and Wizards, that they put up a picture recently on their Instagram where they were photographed with Josta, whose podcast has been on hiatus because he's recording a new Hatebreed record.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But he took the time out to go do this when they swung through and did their promo for the new album. He was one of the interviews, so I'm really interested because that's the first power metal band he's ever had in that podcast.
It was John Schaefer and Hanzi?
And Hanzi together.
That's cool.
So
I'd definitely be interested to hear that.
Yeah, I'm very interested when that episode comes
I've interviewed both Hanzi and John Schaefer, but many, many years ago.
Yeah.
Probably 20 years ago now.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah. The questions that arise from that combination of those three people,
yeah,
I'm really interested to see where that discussion goes because Josta's kind of ignorance of a lot of power metal stuff is
very true.
Astounding. So. Yeah. But, when we did the podcast for the year-end stuff for 2019.
Yes.
I think I even said it on the show. I'm like, I have been not listening to anything.
Right.
It took the rest of December off. So the past couple of weeks, I've been slowly getting into stuff, really going back and listening to a lot of Justin stuff from the list that he provided on the show. Which a lot of that stuff I'm intrigued by. Nothing really jumped out at me as much as I hoped it would.
Yeah, me too.
But
a few here and there.
A few things have stuck around. And I've slowly started to listen to some new releases and stuff. There's only been a few things that have really stood out in the early part of this year. And again, it's only 2 weeks in or whatever. But, I was like going through my promos today and all of them were just like bouncing off me. And I'm kind of like, all right, you can't, not every month can be like, wow, so much great stuff to listen to, you know?
I know I'm looking forward. I'm looking sort of at the list. The new Annihilator album coming out.
That's soon, too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The new Mystic Prophecy is not bad.
Okay.
I was enjoying that. I don't know if it's amazing, but it's good. One of the bands we're going to play tonight, it's Sons of Apollo. They put out their new album, MMXX, or 2020.
I've heard the single from it, the one that's on YouTube right now.
Yes, I enjoy these guys.
Yeah.
We can talk about that later, though. Amberian Dawn, I know you're a fan of them, right?
I'm a fan. I'm very interested to see what they're going to do with this one.
I've heard the new God Dethroned. It comes out in February, which is good.
Okay.
There's a new Sepultura album. The new Eason EP.
EP, right.
Creator has a live album. I'm looking forward to this. A brand new Psychotic Waltz album.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. They have one song that they've released already. It's living up to my expectations. Then you got Demons and Wizard. You have a new Ozzy album, which I've heard a couple songs from that. Intronaut has a new album coming out. My Dying Bride. I'm excited for that.
Right, yeah.
It's called The Ghost of Orion. They've released one track already, which if we have time, we might play that tonight. Because okay. It's really good. Have you heard it yet?
I haven't heard that yet,
no. Let's see. Wolf actually have a new album coming out, finally.
Yeah.
Lucifer, who were just here in town.
Oh, that already happened?
Yeah, it already happened.
Okay.
You
know what? The other thing happened just the other night. Or
British Lion?
British Lion.
Okay.
Did you go with that?
No.
Okay. I was just saying. I had the chance to go to it.
Did you? Me too.
It was like raining and stuff. And it, you know, I was kind of like, do I really want to drive across town in the rain? I was on the verge of heading there. And I was just like, I did listen to the album earlier this week. Yes. Again, I listened to both of the records just to see, like, I just couldn't bring myself to let go of $30, you know?
A lot of my friends on my friend list went to the show and got to fucking meet Steve Harris. He was hanging out with people and meeting people. I know.
Expletive.
Oh, and one more, too. So, Colin, who was a guest on the show, he got his fucking vinyl signed by him and shit.
I thought...
And he met Nico McBrain... At
in Orlando,
at NAMM, it's like last week.
Yeah, Maurice got to meet him too. I saw
they were there together. Yeah, we still got to get Maurice on the show and have him go over his 2019 because there's some different shit there. Don't feel bad, dude.
So you're telling me I could have met Steve Harris, but here's the thing.
No,
here's
what I'm not telling you that.
Were they just hanging out in the bar afterwards? I mean, there had to be like a million people swirling around.
Don't know. But three or four of my friends on my friend list got to meet him. That's all I can say.
Well, I went on Instagram. I looked at like pictures that people were posting of the Orlando show.
Yeah.
Where the tour opened and the crowd like lining up for the show was so huge.
I bet.
And I was just like, okay, you know what? I know it's a weeknight. I know it's bad weather, but still, there's going to be a lot of people who are just going to go to the show just because it's Steve Harris.
And I've seen Iron Maiden in a club show when they were with Blaze. And I was fucking feet away from the entire band.
Right. See, I just thought that it was going to be a situation where I would pay the money, I'd go there. And I would see him up on stage and I'd be really, you know, relatively close to the stage, as close as you can get.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, wow, this is cool. Then after 5 minutes, I'd be like, all right, this is, the coolness is worn off.
Yeah.
And I just need to get through this show. And I'm not, this music is not bad. Like their songs aren't bad.
Mm.
It's just like British hard rock.
Yeah.
You know, very, very British hard rock.
With great bass lines.
Yeah, and I was like, well, it'd be cool to see him in that environment, but how would that novelty factor wear off? And I looked at the set list, I'm like, you guys don't even do any old school Maiden covers? Not one Maiden cover?
Well, that's not what they're about.
I know, but just throw me Charlotte the Harwood or something like that,
I know.
And so I just weighed the pros and cons, and I was just like, there's no way he's going to be like hanging around, you know, just walking around the bar. He's probably going to go from the stage straight back to the bus, and that's it. I'm sure there's going to be some sort of VIP.
One of the reasons I didn't go, that we already had another engagement last night, but I didn't think he was just be available.
I just kind of thought there would either be a VIP element if there was a possibility of meeting him or nothing at all. You know, just go straight to the bus.
Don't feel bad. It'll happen again. Trust me.
I'm glad that people we know or that you know got to meet him
People.
But I'm really salty about the fact that he was just walking around.
Yeah, I know, dude. It's okay.
Fuck's sake. It was $30. I have like five shows coming up on the horizon.
I have
I've already bought like a crap load of tickets. I couldn't afford just to... Well, casually flip away $30 for another one, you know.
House of Blues was doing this thing, my New Year deal. So I got tickets to the Symphony X, Primal Fear, Firewind show for like $17 each.
Wow. Yeah.
I was like, that's it.
Yeah.
I didn't get tickets for Health Heroes. It's going to be a busy-ass day for me, a busy weekend.
Right.
But yeah, I'm not missing Candlemass, and it's going to be a great show.
Yeah, that's going to be the one.
Yep. All right. Let's move on. Speaking of Candlemass, mm-hmm. you ready to get into some doom?
Yeah.
This is a band that our buddy Matt Ryan turned me on to. He's like, "Have you heard these guys?" And I'm like, and from the name, I was like, "Okay, this is probably something I'm not going to be really into." Holy crap, man.
Right.
If I had heard this earlier in the year, it came out September of 2019. If I had heard it earlier in the year, it would have definitely been in my top somewhere. I'm not sure exactly where yet. The name of the band is Funeral Fuck. It's FVNERALFVCK. It was very cult.
Yeah.
Cavolt. The name of the album is called Carnal Confessions. These guys are... I can't remember where they're from. I think they're German. Yeah, they're from Hamburg. These guys are high quality fucking doom metal. Comparatively, they remind me a lot of Solitude Eternus.
Yeah, very much so.
Just really slow grooves, but not like those slow, dirgy stuff. Just
very emotive vocals.
Yes. These guys are just epic as all can be.
They sound way better than their name suggests they should.
Totally.
So it's a really unfortunate name.
The name is a little unfortunate. When you hear the name, it's like, oh, they're like just a complete raw black metal band or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Just totally against like fucking anti-religion and shit like that, which I'm sure these guys
Because you think like, what's a big deal, guys? It's just a name. It's like, well, sometimes that's a barrier. Like if you had come across that name on like a website or something yourself.
This is what they dress like.
Well, that's
Dress like.
That's interesting. That reminds me of another band we're going to be playing later on the show.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, you would just glaze right past that and go, oh, that's probably some weird techno deathcore or whatever, stupid band or something. And it takes someone you know, like another layer, like a filter to get down to you. So the names, you got to choose better names sometimes, you know?
Yeah, so this album came out in September. This is their, I believe, second full length. This is their very first full length. So they did an EP and then a split, and then now this is their very first one.
Okay.
I'll let you guys check it out for yourself, but this is really fucking great doom metal from Germany. This is, you want to say it?
Funeral Fuck.
Or Funeral Zvuk. It's hard to say. Gewalt is easier to say than Fvuk.
Yeah. The V's in place of U's thing is getting kind of played out. I mean, there's like a bright pop band, Churches, that does that, so let's all just calm down on
that's
the cult.
That's true. They do. All right, check it out. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to MSRcast 232. And with the Brothers of Metal.
Brothers and Sisters of Metal.
Brothers and Sisters.
Can't leave out the sisters.
You know, the funny thing is I think there really is a sibling pair in the band.
Oh, there really? I didn't know that.
Because the singer, her name is, I think it's pronounced Olva Eriksson. And the other guy, the kind of gruff queen male vocalist is Johan Eriksson.
He makes me want to clear my throat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just do that, dude.
So, you know, I'm sure there's people listening who know Brothers of Metal, but they've been around for just a couple years now. They had this is their new album, came out 2 weeks ago, and they had on their first album sort of like a minor hit, I would say, as much as a band like that could have a hit with the song Yggdrasil.
Mm-hmm. Or Yggdrasil.
Yggdrasil, yeah. Yeah.
This is the tree.
The tree. Yeah. So that was, I'm sure that, because that song ended up being on so many playlists, and the YouTube video has over like a million or two views on it. It's a popular song. It's really hooky and catchy, but this is the second album. The chances for it to be problematic, because I really enjoyed that first one. I kind of came to it late.
There's only 15 people in the band,
which is why I never really brought it up on the show back then. I came to it like half a year later, but this new album I enjoy. There's nothing as that peaks as high as Yggdrasil, but that song I really like. I just like Olva's voice so much. I think she's like one of the best singers right now in this kind of territory. You know, she's got like a voice that's not operatic, not ethereal, just very full and dynamic, and she has a lot of depth to it. And the combination of her and the other guy singing, it's a unique twist on the whole kind of Nordic or Norse, you know, mythology, kind of what Amon Amarth is doing, but with clean vocals, you know?
Yeah.
And they're, you know, chanty and fun, and it's kind of like Tiresias mixed with Amon Amarth, you know, with the addition of like a lady singer. So
I was thinking it's like folk power metal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it's not like, I don't think they quite hit the same mark as the debut, but they, it's a quality release, and it's one of the highlights of, you know, the early part of this year. So. Yeah.
Will it be remembered end of year?
That I don't think so, because it just doesn't have enough peaks. You know, it's all pretty good consistently throughout, but like that, you know, like Yggdrasil, that was such a standout song that like I would hear that on Spotify playlists like a year after it was out, and it was just like a song that is so recognizable and has such a defining chorus, and all of these songs in the new record kind of lack that kind of that pop factor, basically. So, but I do like it. I've been listening to the album a lot. So, they're a great band. They're a unique sound, I think, like emerging a nexus point of sounds. There's a reason why they've gotten as big as they have in just such a short amount of time. And I think right now they're on tour with Elvenstorm, or maybe that tour just finished. Not Elvenstorm. One of the Elven bands. You guys know the one I'm talking
Elven
about.
Elven King?
Yeah, there you go. The
one
folky
of the Elven
ones.
Bands.
Yeah.
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 So, that's cool.
Yeah, they're making inroads. They're going to be a big deal. I could see them
easily. You think they're going to be a big deal in Americas?
I could easily see them like getting a support slot for like Delane or Sabaton and making inroads in that crowd, and you'll be seeing them a lot. But yeah,
open up for Nightwish and they're set.
Yeah, I mean the only drawback would be that they have a lot of members and that could be expensive. But
it's like eight people in the band.
Yeah, yeah. It might be one of those things where you leave the bassist at home and just pipe in the bass.
Seen that happen before?
Oh yeah.
What band was that? Was it
That was Mors Principium recently, I think, the most recent one.
Yeah, right.
And then, you know, there's like situations like Wolfheart where he just has like an American lineup and a European lineup.
Yep.
It's like, okay.
We know one of the guys from the American lineup, Wolfheart.
Yeah.
Who I'm excited to see again.
Yeah, I know. I can't believe this band to work in to see them like three times.
I know.
In 3 years.
I never thought I would see him ever.
I know. It's kind of strange.
I got to get my, I got a Wolfheart patch I need to put on my jacket.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That I bought the last time.
Right, yeah.
Haven't put on yet.
Okay, yeah.
When are you going to make your battle jacket, dude?
I don't think I am.
Why not?
Because I think if I was going to, I would have started already.
No, never too late. I didn't make mine until I was like 42 or 43, dude.
Maybe I just need to, okay, I'll work on finding the jacket first. I'll keep an eye out. And then, yeah.
What band would you put on yours?
I mean, it'd be interesting to think about what I would want as a centerpiece.
I know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, probably Blind Guardian.
That's actually what my, yeah, I was going towards Blind Guardian.
But I mean, that'd be an epic back piece, you know?
Because I'd want the Nightfall, you know, art as the back piece. Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah. Cool. That would be something to do. I could see myself doing that.
Let's work on it, dude. Come on.
Okay. All right.
Get you a jacket.
Yeah. I'll start looking for the jackets. Yeah.
The fun of searching for patches is it's a blast.
Okay. Yeah.
The thrill of the hunt.
Kind of an inexpensive hobby once you get the jacket down.
Yeah.
And the patches are pretty inexpensive. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got mine at Hot Topic.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was just one of their jackets, and the sleeves came off, unzipped the sleeves, and it's a metal vest.
Huh. Okay. Cool. Yeah.
But you don't have to do black. You can do traditional. If you want to be more trad and do like a jean jacket.
Right. Yeah.
I actually looked for a jean jacket when I started looking for this stuff. But
right. Yeah.
I know people have ordered stuff off Amazon and things like that too. So
okay. Yeah. I'm sure there's a company out there that makes like these specifically for this.
Yeah. There's a bunch of Facebook groups you can join that people, you know, trade and sell patches and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of fun.
All right. Cool.
We'll always know what to get you for a present. Let's get you a new patch.
Right. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
All right. So what's coming up next? Oh, Paladin is coming up next.
Yeah. This is an interesting project.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know why they did this. I appreciate it. It's pretty cool.
That's what I was thinking when we were listening to it earlier. I was like, I wonder why they did this. And the only explanation really without reading an interview is just to think that one of them or a couple of them are massive Nevermore fans.
It's more of a digital EP.
Right.
So this is the EP is called Anamnesis. It's basically three Nevermore tracks. They do The River Dragon Has Come, which is what we're going to play next. They do Final Product, and then they do 42147, the instrumental.
Okay. Yeah.
This is still an up and coming band in the metal scene. So it's weird for them to do a tribute like this on their own. But it's a good tribute to Nevermore and to Worrell.
Yeah.
He doesn't try to be exactly what Worrell does, but he comes close at times.
He hits that vibrato.
But I appreciate that. You don't try. To pay tribute to somebody, you're not trying to replicate them completely.
Yeah.
You're just trying to, you know, show respect. And I think they picked the right songs.
Yeah.
The River Dragon is my wife's online screen name. So
yeah, I think that's like my second favorite song on Dead Heart, and Heart Collector obviously is the tops. But I always loved that record just in general. So I'm glad they focused on that album something. So, yeah, it's a cool tribute because it's just like it's a couple years removed from, you know, Worrell passing away. So it's clearly they had like time to think about this and be like,
and you saw them live last year, right?
Paladin.
Didn't they play Hell's Heroes?
No, they weren't at Hell's Heroes. They came here and played a club that was like the Satellite Bar or something like that. And I skipped the show because it was like just this weird venue I didn't really know how to get to. So
yeah. I'm sure they'll come back around.
Yeah.
They're getting a little bit of buzz behind them.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get into it. This is The River Dragon Has Come from the band Paladin, of course, made famous by Nevermore. I hated that on like Rock Band when they couldn't get the real tracks for a band or like Guitar Hero. It'd be like, as made famous by, but it was like a different cover version of the song.
Just by some no names or something?
Yeah, it was some. Oh. They did that a lot when they couldn't get the actual song.
That's gross.
Yeah. So this is from the EP Anamnesis. So check it out. We'll be right back.
architects and fools never cared for poor man's blood. Cursed to repeat the past they are. The river dragon swims upstream. They built another. We'll be right back.
Testify, my friend. You best testify. Now, who is this band? I've never heard of them before till tonight.
Yeah, they're a new band. This is they only have an EP out that came out in the summer of 2019. But by the Fire and Sword, these guys are from Boise, Idaho.
Really?
Which is a strange place for a band to come from, I guess. But they're one of these. I don't know where I stumbled upon them. I think I discovered them December sometime, and I only got around to listening to them recently. But I really love this EP because their whole thing is like, especially this song, and, you know, you can hear it in the title, Testify, and in the chorus and stuff. But lyrically, this band's perspective is that they're sort of like preachers almost, or like, you know, really messianic preachers and stuff, and the lyrical perspective that they sing with is about like is kind of on that fire and brimstone. You know, the vocalist, this guy Tom Newby, great voice. He does a lot of this weird spoken word stuff in there.
Yeah, I heard that.
Where he'll stop down and he'll start. It's almost like he's one of those tent revivalist preachers, kind of like talking to you in front of your face, trying to get you to. You know, and I was looking into the band. I'm like, okay, is this like a Christian band or something? Not that that would put me off, but they're not really. Their whole thing is like on their Bandcamp is like they have this little quote on there about how they're bringing the power of the riff, you know, to make people testify or something like that. It's this whole shtick they've got about kind of being these like preachers of heavy metal.
I was about to say it's the Church of Metal.
The Church of Metal. But the lyrics are very metaphysical and very it could be about a higher power or it could just be about riffs. You're not really sure what they're talking about. And that song is just so good. It's so catchy. And that chorus is so triumphant. And I love at the end how after that kind of middle bridge part, it just kicks out with this amazing guitar solo, and that kind of serves as the outro for the song, and it's like one of the most perfect singles I've heard in a long time.
I don't know if I liked it quite as much as you are, but that's okay.
I could easily see it winding up on like my best songs of the year list. It's just going to be one because I know it's not. I'm not going to stop listening to it. It's already my most listened to song in just this month, and the rest of the EP is good. You know, it gets a little weird, like on track like 4 and 5, where they're kind of it gets more epic and more adventurous, so to say. But the first three songs are just like really hooky, supremely catchy heavy metal. So yeah, a really creative band. That you know, go support them. They're only on Bandcamp. It's an independent release. So
if you like what you heard here, go and buy it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Support these guys.
Yeah.
What do we used to say? Support or abort?
Did we used to say that?
I used to say that.
Okay.
And I meant we using the word royal we, you know.
Right, right.
Because, you know, we haven't broken away from the queen. I'm not trying to be all.
Fair.
You know. Yeah, I mean, this type of music is making such a comeback, this retro 70s like metal, man. There's just so many bands out there doing it.
Yeah, and they have the kind of muddy-ish sound where it's sort of like it's like, okay, maybe they purposely made this really low produced, but I swear to God, like during when that solo kicks in, that outro solo, it's as clear as like a modern Blind Guardian record. So they mix it up, this band, and it seems like they're less concerned with aesthetics and their sound than they are with aesthetics and their lyrics and their present.
A lot of these,
you know, you see the picture right there. They're all dressed like preachers, like wearing the black shirts and buttoned
that
up.
That lo-fi sound is very popular.
Yeah. Yeah.
that mono is just everything's like one channel.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, you know, another band from North America that's doing it, and it's just there's so much stuff coming out. You know, if your impression of North American metal is really limited right now, you're not digging deep enough. There's so much stuff out there that's a lot of it. The best stuff. My album of the year last year, Dioth, is an unsigned band. You know, they have a band camp. They're not signed to a label. There's nothing really behind them. So it's just like a bunch of guys who have day jobs in Connecticut who put out the year's best record, in my opinion. So yeah, yeah, you have to go digging for stuff, but it's there, or listen to us.
That's right.
Yeah.
We always try to discover new things. Yeah. We'll do the digging.
Yeah.
Which I do that a lot. I will try to listen to most new releases, but even looking at release schedules,
right,
there's still stuff that I miss. So much of it.
Yeah.
Like this next one, it was introduced to me by Justin today, or okay, actually yesterday. This band called Dark Tribe.
All right.
So, yeah, this is up my alley.
Okay.
They are from France. They are traditional power metal. You haven't heard of this yet, have you?
Mm-mm,
no. Yeah. It's really, really well produced, really well. Some of their lyrics are in French. But you don't really hear a lot of power metal from France.
Right. I mean, I can only think of like Elven Storm and that weird progressive power metal project that's Qantas or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So the new album just came out last week, actually. It's called, it's hard to say, Voici le Home.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Which I thought was Italian, but, you know, I don't know. Yeah, these guys are really good. So we're going to get into the song called Face and Vision. When I was listening to the album, I've listened to it a few times already, and this is the one that stuck out to me, like, right away.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're on Scarlet Records, Dark Tribe. It's D-A-R-K, and then capital T-R-I-B-E, Dark Tribe.
Voici le Home. Like the voice of man or something?
I think so, okay, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense.
That is Italian, right?
I don't know.
If anybody out there knows, let us know.
I think home or om, I think it's French.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It makes sense they're from France.
Right, yeah. Well, this is intriguing. Justin and power metal, I'm intrigued.
I know. That's the same thing I saw. And I was like, all right. And I texted him back. I'm like, you know this is power metal, right? He's like, yeah, I know. I knew you would dig it too. I was like, all right, you got me. All right, so let's get into Dark Tribe. The song, again, is Face and Vision. We'll be right back.
as I come in my spirit. For eternity, no one can replace you. For your kingdom, I will fight forever.
Despite many times being shown,
Welcome back to MSRcast 232.
Thank you.
Remember like a month ago when I said that we were on episode 300 something, how I just leapfrogged us by like 100 episodes?
You were looking into the future, my friend.
So this was Gray Skies Fallen, what you just heard.
That's right.
It's a band we featured on the show before, a long time ago.
We've actually had one of the guys on the show, Rick.
Yeah, that was actually like my third podcast that I did on the show was when he was a guest.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we need to get him back. We've actually been talking about it.
It was like in early 2014 or something like that.
Yeah.
So, so this is new from them. The album's not out yet, right?
I believe it comes out tomorrow.
Okay.
January 23rd or 24th. It's okay. Independent. But you can find it again on their Bandcamp and all right. that. We'll link to that in our show notes. But yeah, this is a band I've known about and been friends with for 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I first met and knew, hung out with Rick Habib and the rest of the guys in the band. This is like Milwaukee Metal Fest 99.
I remember, yeah.
When their first album came out.
Because that interview, you guys were telling stories about that fest. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's a good episode.
Yeah. It was a good episode. We need to bring him back. We've been talking about it.
Yeah.
Now it's a new album, but no better time than the present, right?
Right, yeah.
So yeah, the new album is called Cold Dead Lands. This is their 1, 2, 3, 4, their fifth full length. This is an independent again. They are from New York. This is they're great. Doom. But like Death Doom, they were doing Death Doom before. They were doing it before it was cool.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
This is the first thing they've done in like, what, 4 or 5 years?
4 or 5 years. Their last album was 2014.
Right.
So, yeah.
It's like really intense, kind of punishing, sometimes more death than doom, I feel like.
This song we heard, and this is, don't take this in the wrong any way, but the right way. It made me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The way it plotted along, right. it was emotive. You just felt like sort of like uncomfortable in your own skin for a little bit.
Yeah.
I fucking well done, guys.
Yeah.
Cause not a lot of music makes me feel that way. I mean, you could feel just the point, the emotion that we're trying to get across in the song.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Procession to the Tomb, that's apparently about, you know, dying. So we'll have to have him on and let him talk about that. But, yeah.
Procession. Yeah, that's a cool image. Procession to the Tomb. It reminds me of, like, Black Company, Glenn Cook, Fantasy. It's like... It's like a whole city that's built on this tomb, this the concave of tombs and stuff.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, they're grayskiesfallen.bandcamp.com. You can actually purchase the limited edition CD digipack. Only 300 are made for $10. It comes with the MP3 and everything. It's a pretty good deal.
That's smart. Like just 300 of this physical release and it's digital. Yeah.
Artwork done by the amazing Travis Smith, of course.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, check them out.
This band that Justin picked out,
uh-huh.
That is an interesting pick for that guy. And I like it. And
I like it, too.
This is the first time I've heard of this band.
It's very progressive style power metal.
Yeah.
Like, much in the vein to me, I finally figured out what it reminded me of when we were listening to it again, is the band Eldritch.
Yeah, I would say I know what you mean when you say Eldritch. I would say also that it just kind of reminds me of like Camelot a little bit in certain spots.
Brainstorm.
Yeah, that's a good one too. Yeah, the Eldritch thing is definitely there.
His vocals, I think, remind me of Eldritch.
Yeah, the vocals are what does it. But yeah, the music and everything, I was like, oh, that's kind of Camelot-y and
very keyboard melody driven.
Yeah, it's an interesting mix.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting band to I don't know. See, France doesn't really have an identity when it comes to power metal. You know, it's just it's very little, and it's all over the place.
Right.
Because when you listen to Elvenstorm, they're as dirty and kind of thrashy as they come, and that's one end of the spectrum. So these guys are definitely occupying a, you know, their own space there. So, yeah.
So, I hate to do this, but we need to get a little somber for a minute.
Yeah.
We lost one of the greats, one of the most amazing drummers that has ever lived and will ever live. It's hard to say, but yeah, we lost Neil Peart.
Yeah, this one really just surprised the hell out of me.
It did too. Me too.
I don't think that
he heard rumors that he was sick, but
okay. See, I had no idea.
I didn't know it was that bad. That it you know, it wind up taking his life.
When the news broke that day, I remember the most was an interview that Alex had given. I think right around the time they got inducted into the mm-hmm. Hall of Fame. And he said something about, like, how he said that he thought it was really, really unlikely that they would ever do another show again.
Right.
And he said, like, you know, it's really up to Neil if he wants to do it. But he said that I think it's unlikely. And the only thing I remember at that time taking away from that was that, I wonder if he's ill or something, or if there's, like, because I know he had some, like, physical conditions mm-hmm. or something where he was, like, playing the drums exhausted him. But I was like, I wonder if there's something more to that. And I just didn't think anything of it. I was like, you know, the retirement age, he probably just wants to chill out. I understand that. But I have a feeling they all knew about this.
Did you ever see them live?
No.
I saw them once.
Yeah.
This was back in, I don't know, I can't remember what year exactly. It was at the Summit. It was Primus opening for Rush. It was an amazing show.
Yeah.
When
they did that EP, that where they did the old 60s covers and that EP.
Yeah.
They did a tour after that, and I wanted to go see them on that tour, and I was the closest I came, but I don't know, because the tickets were really expensive at the time, and I didn't have the money or something, so, yeah, I skipped on that one.
Do you have a favorite Rush song?
The album, weirdly enough, my favorite album is Vapor Trails, because that's where I got into them.
The 80s stuff?
So, like, One Little Victory is, like, the first song I heard. I was, like, really into them. Because I knew about Rush. Like, they were just kind of one of those legendary bands you heard about and you listened to, like, in passing on the radio. But that was the first time I actually got a new album and listened to the new album, like, on my own completely. And I was really into that record. In retrospect, like, just listening to their entire catalog, Time Stand Still, I think, is a great song, you know?
Like, oh, yeah.
One of the classic songs and stuff.
There's so many...
Red
Barchetta.
Yeah, that's a great
song. So many fucking great songs. My favorite Rush song of all time is YYZ. There's this...
Yeah.
Something about that song.
What album is that on? That's the same album as Tom Sawyer, right?
Moving Pictures.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Phenomenal song. Yeah. Instrumental.
Yeah.
But still one of my favorites. I just love the drum syncopation in that song, and for the lovely use of cowbell.
Yeah.
Just a great, great track overall. Remember Roll the Bones? Like 89, 90?
I don't think I ever listened to that one.
That was such a weird fucking album, but loved it.
I have Test for Echo. That was like a 90s.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
That was a good one too.
Around that era. Yeah. I've been doing I did a big deep dive back into Rush after the news. You know, not that I'm not a fan. I hate people like, oh, I'm only a fan because these, no, I've been a fan for a long time. Right. It's just, you know, I haven't heard a lot of the most recent albums though.
When was the last one they did? That was like, what, 2013 or something like that?
I don't know. I'm going to have to look that up. I'm not really sure.
I don't remember listening to anything recently and walking away. It was something like Snakes and Clocks and...
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
that one. I remember that was the last one I heard. And I was like, it's
Clockwork
okay.
Angels.
Clockwork Angels.
2012.
Yeah. Okay.
There was a graphic novel for that was... written by Neil and I believe Kevin J. Anderson, who is a Star Wars sci-fi writer.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, look, that very cool.
That was officially their last record, right?
Yep.
Yeah. You know, I also...
He was a prolific writer, too, Neil.
Yeah.
He did a lot of travel, essay, journey type stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He had a pretty interesting book, too, about that.
Roll the Bones was 91. Test for Echo was 96. 96. I don't remember it being that late, but yeah.
Yeah. This is one of those bands where I don't think that they should... Getty and Alex should... you know, I mean, like recruit likes out,
no.
like a Mike Portnoy and go on tour. I don't think you should do that.
No, definitely not.
It's better just to just
let it
end it.
Let it end.
Because the way they did go out with those spectacular concerts, these stadium gigs, was kind of the best way to do it. You know, all three of them, you know, the strength they had left, you know, to do it. So, you know, like something's, it's okay for something to end sometimes like that.
It's sad, but.
It's sad, but yeah.
So we're going to do, we're going to play a little tribute to Neil. We're going to play three tracks. One that you just picked, one that I picked, YYZ, mm-hmm. and we're going to do something pretty old. One of my favorite tracks from them as well is Bastille Day.
I don't remember that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm sure I've heard it before, but I'm not up to date on all their song titles and stuff.
It was from the album Caress of Steel, which was 1975. Yeah.
Wow, yeah.
It's when they were, you know, like, there's only five songs on it, but the last song is like 20 minutes long, one of those type of things, like 2112.
As I think I only own physically.
You remember Lakeside Park?
No.
Oh, wow.
I only own Moving Pictures, Vapor Trails, Test for Echo, and that EP they did with the Summertime Blues. Whatever that was called. So those are the only things I physically own by them. So
yeah, what was that album called?
I'll have to go and do a deep dive. That EP was great. I love that EP. Those are like songs I wouldn't have given a shit about before, and they just crushed. They made like Summertime Blues crushingly heavy, like metal heavy.
Yeah, right. They did.
Yeah, I think that Vapor Trails, I think I could still listen to it. I never actually got around to listening to that re-recorded or remixed version they did. So that's another thing I have to go explore too. Because I heard that they had like – I never had a problem with the original one, first of all. So
yeah.
That says a lot about my lack of understanding of these things.
So we want to pay our small tribute, our respect to Neil.
Yeah.
I know a lot of other radio stations and podcasts and blah, blah, blah. Everybody out there, there was such an outpouring of love for the dude. It was great to see that.
Yeah.
But these are some of our favorite songs from the band.
I saw that they had like a 700 or like increase in – or 7,000 increase.
Yeah, 7,000% increase 7,000% in like sales. Increase, yeah.
Which, you know, sometimes you're kind of like, that's great. And then you're like, I wish it didn't have to be because of this.
Exactly.
It's funny when that a couple of days after that happened, I was like thinking about like, I just wish we could just appreciate things more in the moment of before this happens.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up that day listening to The Cult a lot, like all day, because I was like, this is a band where I bet like if you know Ian Astbury, you know something happens to him, the next day there'd be like a jump in people. It's like. Well, he's alive now. Let's jam him.
The Cult's a great band. I saw them a few years ago when they were at that fest that should not be, whatever fest that failed fest.
Yeah, that Houston metal
Houston
fest.
Open air.
Yeah,
that was one of the bands that actually did get to play, and that was the first time I'd ever seen them live, and they were fun.
I saw The Cult in '99 at the Verizon Wireless, and that was so good.
Wow. Yeah.
It was also the most marijuana clouded show I've ever been at.
I bet.
It's just permeating the room.
All right, let's get into our tribute to Neil Peart. Peart, however you want to say it.
Peart.
Peart.
Peart. Peart. Peart.
Peart. Peart Plus. That's always, I've always heard that. It's like pronounced like the shampoo, all right?
Yeah.
So let's just let the music do its talking, man.
Yeah.
that is our heartfelt tribute to Neil Peart. May you rest in peace and have the biggest fucking drum set in heaven to play that you can. Or wherever you may be.
The early Rush stuff is really unique sounding. Like, even amongst, like, classic rock bands, like, just, like, looking backwards, it's like, that is a unique sound for them. It's almost sort of cheerful, and it doesn't have the sort of darkness that came into the 80s stuff, the early 80s stuff, you know?
I like all their eras of the band. Like, the mid-70s stuff, like, you know, like, we played Bastille Day.
Yeah.
It's sort of raw and sort of, like we mentioned a little earlier, lo-fi, you know?
Right.
And then it got super polished at times, and it got super 80s at times with a lot of synths. And
this song we were just listening to.
Roll the Bones.
Roll the Bones.
I love that album. I don't know why.
I like that chorus, but that weird rap interlude part.
You got to watch the video to make it make sense, I guess. I don't know. That came out in 91, so I was probably 12, 13 when that came out. I remember my mom got me that cassette at the mall, which I still have that cassette, actually. It was just a great album. Yeah.
It makes sense when you consider what year it was.
No, yeah, totally. It's totally like early 90s.
Yeah.
Let's experiment as crazy as we can get.
Yeah.
And people will still buy it, right, and they'll enjoy it because we're fucking Rush. We can do whatever we want at this point.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
I'm sad that you never got to see him live.
Yeah, it's a bummer. Yeah. Maybe there'll be a good Rush tribute coming through. You know, that I can catch. I keep waiting for Seventh Son to come back to town so I can get to go see them again.
When is Portnoy going to do his own Rush tribute? Who's good enough to play in a Rush tribute besides... Okay.
Talent-wise, yeah.
If Portnoy wanted to put together a Rush tribute band, it would be him on drums. Who else would be in the band?
Well, guitarist is not really a difficult one to fill because they can get – there's a number of talented guitarists that could fit that bill.
Yeah.
Vocalist – I mean,
vocal and bass.
Yeah, you have to get someone who could do both and
– There's only one person you can get.
Who would this be?
Les Claypool from Primus. There's only one person that can reproduce those type of bass licks.
Yeah. Vocally, I don't know.
Vocally, maybe not.
Yeah.
But – maybe you don't need to match it completely vocally. I don't know.
I mean, I would say get Claypool in there as the bassist and then just get a lead singer, you know, to be independent.
Who can hit those high notes, though? How about Dickinson?
No, I don't think you'd want to go that route. I think you'd probably want to get, I think it'd be interesting to get a really talented female vocalist.
Oh,
you know.
Okay.
Not because I think that. I just think it'd be interesting.
Female empowerment. I got you.
I just think it'd be interesting to get someone that could get up close to hitting all of those kind of ranges that Getty was in because he's such a unique singer.
Yes.
To get a guy to replicate his voice is a tribute band. Would be like it would just seem like an affectation, you know. Particularly if they didn't sound like that. He has one of the most unique voices in music history, I would say. You know, let alone rock history. So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's an interesting little thought experiment.
If you guys have any ideas of who you want in a Rush tribute all star band, let us know. msrcast@gmail.com. Reach out to us on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook or any of those spots. It's an interesting conversation, you know?
Yeah. Or just like rotating vocalists or something, you know?
That could work too. Yeah. So speaking of Portnoy, the man of many talents and the man of many, many bands, put a new album out in the past few weeks. It was, let's see, came out last Friday. MMXX, or if you want to call it 2020, the second full length from Sons of Apollo.
Yep.
One of my favorite all-star prog bands. This, I mean, the lineup is phenomenal, dude.
Yeah.
It really is. You have Mike Portnoy on drums, Billy Sheehan on bass, Bumblefoot on guitar, Derek Sherinian on keyboards,
yeah,
and Jeff Scott Soto on vocals.
Yeah.
Really
talented.
Really talented band. Really good prog metal, too.
Yeah.
It's prog rock, prog metal. They sort of cross the line between both.
I haven't heard this yet. I just listened to that, so that one single that's on YouTube. But
What was the first single? I
have no idea. Whatever it was, it was recommended.
Desolate July, or
I don't know.
It might be this one, because this one was the first one I heard off the album. It's the opening track.
I mean, it sounded good. I remember on that debut record, sort of like I enjoyed some parts of it, and then a lot of it I was just sort of like, you guys seem to not have quite the focus you need to. You know, it seemed like they were going in different directions throughout that record. A lot of different paths taken.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems like they need to, maybe what they're going to achieve on this one is narrowing down more of a focused songwriting direction.
Or maybe not.
You've heard it?
I have heard it a few times. I enjoy the album quite a bit.
Right.
But, it's very close to what the first album was.
Okay.
Very catchy. You know, prog rock, you know. Not that it's bad in any way. It's really good. I really enjoy this album.
Okay. Is it as slick as the first one was?
Production-wise?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
They did a live album out that came out last year. That's pretty good. They do some cover songs and stuff on there. Huh. Portnoy has a Beatles tribute band that's pretty fun. We watched a lot of their stuff on YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just all they do is Beatles covers. Yellow Matter Custard.
That's their name.
That's their name. If you know where that's from, let me know, because it is a deep, deep Beatles reference.
Yeah, I don't get that.
So let's get into Goodbye Divinity. This song, it might get, after I say this, you might think about it too, but there is a guitar riff in the beginning and then like sort of close to the end that reminds me of King of the Hill.
Okay.
So you'll hear it. You'll be like, oh, yeah, I can definitely hear that.
Yeah.
So let's get into Sons of Apollo. This is Goodbye Divinity from MMXX or 2020, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Thank you. proudly, had no cares, their hands dirty, said no prayers. Dark streets, heartless sunrise, all things come to pass, and no smile from her blue eyes, her soul comes unfastened. No taboo. She's not seen the ocean. Nighttime fiery stacks burn. No nails on her fingers. She vows not to return.
Long time.
Welcome back to MSR Cast 232.
Well, wasn't that last set very prog-tastic?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and if that last song, the vocalist, sounded familiar to you.
Yeah, Bob Catley.
It might be because we have played the hell out of him with Avantasia.
And Arion.
And Arion. And
this is the 40th album from Magnum?
Yeah, it's like the 40th. Yeah, I'm sure it's up there. New album by Magnum just came out, about a week ago. It's called The Serpent Rings. It kind of caught me off guard. I didn't really realize.
It's the 21st album.
21st, wow. Okay, so I didn't really realize that they were putting something out.
Yeah, me either.
I remember like about a year or two ago, whenever they released the last one, I listened to it when it came in. I was like, all right, okay, it was okay. Just kind of ho-hum. And then I this one comes out. And then a band like this, I just kind of like give them the respect of listening to the record. Like, veteran band. Yeah, I liked the stuff they've done in the past. This one really surprised the heck out of me. I think they've like just sort of like stumbled into like a latter day great record here. I can't stop listening to it, and just it's staggering to me this band on their 21st album. Like Tony Clarkin, you know, the guitarist, he's like 73 or something. Bob Catley's like around that same age,
72,
yeah, something like that. Like these guys, this record
got to see him live last year too.
This record's so good, and these guys are so late in their career. To me, that's just really heartening. You know, it's like you can always put out a classic, like Priest. You know, with Firepower, you can. It's never too late to put out a classic record if you just get everyone on the same page. When I hear bands like a lot of this happens a lot in the glam metal circle, which I don't really care about personally, but I hear it a lot from musicians in that area where they're like, what's the point of releasing a new record? Fans just want to hear the old stuff. What's the point of, you know, taking the time to write new songs? Fans just want the old stuff. You might be right. And if you're, you know, a band like Rat or Poison, you know, maybe you really are just better sticking to that stuff. But if you're any other band who had any type of artistic depth to them throughout their career, I think a record like this is proof in the pudding that you should always try to write new music and put it out, because you never know what you'll stumble into. And I think that The Serpent Rings is really, for me, one of the most enjoyable Magnum records out there. It's just like really crisp songwriting, emotional song. This is like one of my favorite tracks on there. I could have picked a couple others. And from start to finish, I've really enjoyed the hell out of this album. And am genuinely surprised and pleasantly surprised at that. So everyone should give this a shot.
I'm definitely going to have to listen to this album fully, give my full attention.
Yeah.
That's cool. And before that, we had Son of Apollo, another prog rock royalty band, I guess, project.
Yep.
Okay, so I misquoted. I said King of the Hill. I don't know why I said that. The guitar riff that it reminds me of is the same song to Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah. Fair. And it does kind of sound the same. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great, not an amazing album, not phenomenal, but it's a good album.
Right.
I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
I would actually go see them live because I know they came last year or so, but I missed their show. I would definitely go see them when they come back.
Yeah, they play House of Blues or something like that?
No, it might have been Scout Bar.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
For that band?
Yeah.
Scout Bar? That's
not... Yeah, I believe so. I'd have to double check. But
setting for those guys?
Yeah.
All right.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So we have a sneak preview song that's been making the rounds to end our episode today. There's a new My Dying Bride album coming out in March.
Mm-hmm.
And if the rest of the album is anything like this, I'm totally on board.
All right. Yeah.
You haven't heard it yet, have you?
No.
I
remember not being thrilled with the last thing they released.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. That was like 2 years ago or something like that. So,
Yeah, the last album was 2015, Feel the Misery. Yeah.
Okay. It was a while ago.
Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah, the new album is called The Ghost of Orion. Are there any topics you wanted to talk about before we wrap it up?
The only thing that I really caught my attention in the news was the unfortunate...
I don't talk about the news.
Well, no, metal news about... So, Tanagra, this band that released a record we talked about last year on the podcast in April, I think. really popular. In fact, they actually won Album of the Year for the power metal subreddit. Collectively voted on that was the Album of the Year. And unfortunately, what has happened recently is there is a Danish company, it's some kind of technology company called Nagra, who has applied for like a trademark on the name. And Tanagra also happened to apply for a trademark on their name. And the similarity has caused the tech company to basically say to them, hey, cease and desist, clear out that name.
But it's not even the same.
I know. And that's what's stupid about the whole situation. But they believe there's enough of a similarity. And so the band is basically saying, like, we could win in court, but the legal cost of mounting that fight,
yeah, no doubt,
is not worth it. So they're going to have to change their name. And it's unfortunate because they've just kind of got this momentum from Meridian, the album that came out last year. It's very positively received. It got a lot of praise. And it's just one of these stupid things where, you know, when like back in the day when it happened to Rhapsody, and Rhapsody, the music streaming service, which no one uses anymore. No. I don't even think it exists anymore.
Is that why they had to change the name with the streaming service? Yeah. I didn't know that.
So they had to do Rhapsody of Fire. So there is no Tanagra of Fire option for them. They just have to change their name.
Well, they can find Tanagra of something.
Yeah. But I thought that was
What does Tanagra mean?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, I'm not that wild about the name Tanagra anyway, so I'm just like, maybe pick a better name. But I just think it's a bummer that this kind of stuff happens. And it's like, yeah, they could win, but the legal cost of doing so is just detrimental to a band that's, you know, like a part-time band. So that's a bummer.
The Tanagra figurines were a mold-cast type of Greek terracotta figurines produced from the later 4th century.
Oh, but I want to say that because there's a trademark thing involved in this, they only have a limited amount of time to sell their remaining stocks of merch, including CDs and shirts. They sold out of the shirts today.
Oh,
but
wow.
But what they're doing is they're letting go of all their product on their Bandcamp, like their physical product, for a pay whatever you want fee as long as you pay for the shipping. So if you just want to like pay a buck for it and you cover the shipping cost, they'll send it to you. They have to deplete all their stuff, and they cannot – once that trademark thing goes through, they can no longer sell stuff under the name Tanagra. So go help them out. They're trying to deplete all their stocks and, you know, go buy a couple CDs for, you know, just the cost of shipping and handling. So.
Yeah, $1 for the CD.
Yeah.
You can even send it the gift on their Bandcamp page.
Go help them out, you know. Yeah.
Buy a digital album for name your price.
I bought the digital album myself. I you know, threw a couple bucks for the digital. So, yeah. Yeah, I know they sold out of the merch really quickly. They had a couple shirts there, and those are gone. So, yeah, yep. It's a bummer that these things happen to hardworking bands. Some stupid random company comes along, and yeah. I almost bet that if they had not filed for the trademark themselves,
they wouldn't have known about it.
They would have sailed under the radar.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah.
Wow. That's horrible, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no way. I mean, they could fight it, but the money it would take to fight it,
yeah,
wouldn't be worth it.
Yeah, a couple thousand. Yeah.
Probably more than that.
Minimum, yeah.
Nothing's cheap about going to court, no. Even if you're in the right.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Wow. All right, well.
The downer.
thanks for that downer. Well, thanks again for tuning in to MSRcast. This is episode 232. Of course, if you want to find us on the internet, we are at msrcast.com. We're also at metalgeekspodcast.com, which is our sister website or sister podcast. It's always weird to call it a sister, but it's true. They're sort of twin sisters that got separated at birth.
Yeah.
You can find us again on all the social medias, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Those are the only ones that I do. MSRcast@gmail.com. If you have a quote, if you want not a quote, a request or a comment or anything along those lines, you can find the Metal Pigeon here on all the social medias as well. Mm-hmm. And visit his website at themetalpigeon.com. What am I missing? You can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, all the places you can download your podcast at. We are one feed. MSRcast and Metal Geeks are together. Boy,
Spotify is really making a move to dominate podcasts. They're making attempts to buy a lot of podcast networks right now. So they're gonna try to oust that and be the place to be. So
they can buy me if they want. Yeah. I'm cheap.
Whatever you want.
Whatever you give me a dollar, I'll take it. Yeah. This free shit, I'll give you. Just pay for shipping.
Yeah. Metal Geeks, you guys just did the year end episode.
We did our year end. Yeah.
I have that in my queue. I haven't listened to it yet. So
there's a lot of talk. We talked a lot about music as well.
Yeah.
We did talk about our favorite movies.
Oh,
and
that's where I started it because Dave was introed it by talking about his stuff. Yeah.
That's right. There might be some heated discussion about the new Star Wars movie in that episode.
Okay, I'm going to dig for that, yeah.
You might be agreeing with somebody that you usually don't agree with.
Okay, yeah.
Who is usually wrong.
Yeah. Did Dave watch it?
Yeah, he watched it.
Okay.
Tune in to the latest episode of Metal Geeks Podcast to find out what we think about Star Wars Rise of the Resistance.
Rise of the Skywalker?
Yeah, Rise of Skywalker. Right. The attraction at Disney is Rise of the Resistance. That's very confusing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the movie is Skywalker. The attraction is Resistance. There you go.
Yeah.
All right. On that note, we have one last thing we have to say to everybody. Oh, yeah, but we're going to play this last song, which is from the upcoming My Dying Bride album. Mm-hmm. And as we listen to My Dying Bride, I have one last thing I have to say.
Keep it metal. It shouldn't be that hard.
That and keep it doomy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.